Hello, I'm Papa Biceps. You're watching The Touring YouTube channel.
One thing I think people also forget is this was also at the end of this year was the timing famously of that story with like when Per was the owner and there was that drama of like, was he getting the money behind? And if you remember one of the stories, but it's not just a rumor. So I want to ask you about it. There was two stories and simultaneously, as far as I know, both were true. One was that Get Right really was going to join Cloud Nine. Like as far as I know, he even bought a plane ticket or something mad and something happened last second with him. I remember talking to him in that one. And then the other side was, if you remember, you were going to leave and make a team with like, it wasn't like you exists we're going to be with like Rain and McAlealy. It was like you were going to make it with like the Face guys or something, right? You were going to make like a team with them or something.
So this, maybe I'm getting time, you're absolutely 100, those rumors were absolutely 100% correct. Get Right did in fact buy a ticket. He was gonna join Cloud Nine. You're right about the rumor as well, that, or the one where me exists, McAlealy, Rain, and I can't remember the last one,
maybe Jacob or something. I can't remember the fifth
one. Yeah, probably something like that. We're about to make a team because we as a team just got fed up. I don't know what happened. We were just, everyone was just like, we're gonna go our separate ways, you know what, everybody just go our separate ways. That's why in Club Krishna Polka, for example, we had no business. That was with Alu, right? I think Krishna Polka against TSL was with Alu. We had no business being there because this team had, at that point, I think,
all was going to break up, right?
Yeah, we were going to break up. Everybody was just doing whatever, not really practicing or anything, just going about. And yeah, so those Getter was about to leave. I don't see the detailed part of these stories. I can't really remember what happened with Getra because he did buy a ticket. It was about...
I believe it was on like the Cloud Nine, and I forget what it was, but something happened on their end that I think meant they couldn't come or something. Yeah, because I think Getra, they like cancelled the deal. Yeah.
Getra was 100%...
Yeah.
I think he even was at the airport, and then he got a text like saying it's not going to happen or something like that. And then we kind of just sat back down again, and everybody was like, does this really sound better? Is it really, aren't we good enough? Like everybody's like, yeah, we are good enough. And then we kind of just pull it through again and just kept at it and stuck together as a core. And then,
because the thing I wonder about is, everyone, like, obviously, listen, you still had the successes in the later years. Like, winning Malmo was a massive thing. It's obviously in Sweden itself, like a super cool comeback win. It's obviously the IM Auckland wins were big. But, like, the problem is that these later years is where, like, the results just keep gradually going down. Like, you're still getting the odd one. But so the reason I brought that story up is because I just wonder, like, that seems like one of the moments where if we went back in time, like, maybe you could have had a couple more years at the top. Maybe this team could have been number one with the Rain and Jacob and Exist or whatever. Like, it's an interesting lineup for sure.
Yeah, it could have been interesting, but I think we're being blinded by the fact that we, I think like it all leads back to the Fifth Lauren incident where we were like ranked like number one, number two in the world with Fifth Lauren, and then they just removed him and we didn't have a say in it, and it kind of just, so I think we just get blinded by the fact we're still thinking like we are a good team, man. We just couldn't like get our, we didn't pick the teammate. We didn't do this. We didn't cause this. And we just kind of like stuck through. But I think you're 100% right. I think at some point we should probably have gone our own ways and just split up and just do our own thing. I think everyone could have found success in different. Oh, sorry about that. If it lagged,
that's all right. Don't worry.
We could have found success. I think everyone could have found success in different teams, like Get Right in Cloud Nine, Exist and me. If we did a project, Adam Freiberg would have found something 100% of an interest for him. But we ended up running it through. And I think ever since that day, I think NFP's last big win was Oakland 2017. Up till this day, still, I think that is the biggest international win. NFP has kind of been around the same place ever since. Never really been a title contender. I think the farthest we reached were a few blast finals. We really couldn't find the groove.
Yes, true.
Yeah, that was like the furthest we could have gone. But Blast also had a pretty scuffed easy tournament bracket in that sense. Sure. We win a few best of ones and you end up in a final. We managed to do that a few times, but then we were mostly a quarterfinal team. Lucky sometimes we maybe hit semifinals, but that was about it. And it feels like that's the story of today's NIP still.
Yeah,
you're managing the group stages. Yes, you're doing fine in the group stages, but you're not pushing for a trophy here. You're not gonna lift a trophy. You're not gonna be like a team that people see as a contender for a tournament win. I think there's still NIP still has that identity issue. They're still missing the pieces to the puzzle. still trying to figure out which direction I want to go. And it feels like ever since the FIFLORN move, it's still happening till this day.
The curse of FIFLORN, there you go.
Even though the core is not even there, they still have troubles with players not like in and players in and out, new players, new like.
Yes. Yeah, still, they never have the lineup set. You're right. Yeah, that's been a trend.
Never had the lineup set up. Same with yes. When I was still playing, when Getrit left, we still like. So many iteration of players has now been playing in NIP that it's lost its identity entirely. And I think that is the downfall of NIP, why we kept on going down, because we were still searching for that missing piece and we just couldn't find it, or we just blinded by the fact that we were the best team in the world at some point and just couldn't let go of that thought and just believe that us four could make this happen. Eventually, but it never did. We got a few big wins as a team. I think we could celebrate the DreamHack Master Malmo against Na'Vi, a solid one. The Oakland was nice to lift a trophy. Did I feel like a good best of final against FaZe? So a few ones at least as a team. The latest one was with Exist and Get Right. But I think that fact that we were being blind, or if that makes sense when I say,
yeah.
I think that was kind of happening within the team, that we never were satisfied or too scared to make the right call of actually splitting up.
Sure. Well, I've got a bit of an abstract question, which is this. Like, I know, listen, it's obviously whack when people ask you a question. Like, famously, if you're like a writer, people go, where'd you get your ideas from? Which is like the most like, fucking hell, I couldn't even start with that. Like, it's an impossible question. So the way I'm going to phrase it is like this. When you're playing the game, like at your peak, so it might be 1.6, might be CSGO, you could pick which game it would be. When you play, can you describe to people what is Forrest's mindset in the game? Like, for example, are you someone where are you trying to think of nothing? Are you just flowing? Are you like a surfer? Are you a guy where are you supposed to like focus and think of one thing? Are you supposed to keep a lot of things, the plans in your mind? What are you thinking when you're playing? How would you explain your mindset, do you think?
When I'm playing, I feel like it's like almost like emptiness. It sounds weird. it's like empty in my head. It's like once the game goes live, I feel like it's just quiet. It's just like absolutely quiet inside my head, and I just know what I have to do. Like P250 getting dropped on a pistol. I start to visualize when I'm running towards mid on overpass, for example. Then I just think to myself, it's always super calm in my head.
It sounds like that's a big deal for you to visualize before you do it, like what you're going to do in the round or what you're going to see.
Yeah, it's a big part. Always has been. Even as a little kid, I always visualize stuff, how things is about to go down or how I want.
Do you ever actually get like a really freaky one where you really see like what's going to happen? It literally plays out like that.
Nothing that's super freaky.
Okay, nothing psychic. Okay, right. Okay.
No. But I have like these moments where I think to myself, like when I get to the P250 drop, and I can see, I can kind of visualize while I'm running towards that position, I can like kind of visualize and see the kill happen. Like it's going to be like a two bullet affair. Like that, it's a done deal. And then it's like I go up and I one tap. It's just like exactly how I imagined it as well. It's like I build up scenarios and I force those scenarios. Like I make them a reality for myself. I can't do this stuff. But it's how I work as an individual when I play Counter Strike. I try to visualize as much as I can beforehand, even like before a game starts. I try to visualize tough scenario, like a tough situation, like a 2-on-2, a 15-14 type scenario. Try and just get into that mood. And once the games happen, I am like. Quiet inside my head is all very calm, very relaxed, and I try to just visualize a little bit before once the round starts, and then it's just all about feeling gut feeling type plays and a lot of intuition when I play. And sometimes I might look like an absolute bot, or like what the hell has he done that for, or why like what is he thinking? But in my mind, it made like perfect sense. Do that okay. at that time. It made like 100% sense, and this opponent didn't stand in that position that I thought he would, and it made me look like shit. But if he would have stood as I visualized, it would have like, you know, but it's So I don't know if this answers your question, but I'm very calm, very empty, like emptied in my mind. No, perfect.
Right, along these lines, then, to give someone an analogy, right, the player I'm going to use is a modern day player, so people can think of someone more recently. So if people think of Twists from Fears, dude, a lot of his like really good highlights remind me of Forest highlights, because here's how it always goes. It's always in a scenario where he's in like a 1v3 or something. So the premise is like he must get these kills or he just dies and the round's over. And I feel like when you push really skilled players with a mega aim like that, where their back's against the wall, it's like... What's weird is it's almost like he is taking his time, though. Like, he makes sure he gets the headshot, then he gets the next headshot. But you can tell when he's doing it, like, his brain sort of knows, like, right, I've got to get this one, then I've got to get that to even face the third guy. He's already, like, thinking almost, like, of the third guy. Exactly. In that scenario, a lot of players, like, they can't relate to that, mate. Like, we're all panicking or we're all spraying or, you know, like, I feel like you guys, when you're at your pit, it looks like you have as much time as you need. You can just get the headshots when you need them.
Yeah, that is actually something that people do comment a lot on, is that I do take my... Like, it feels like I'm playing... Like, I do take my time and make sure I hit the shots, and it feels like I'm in control in every scenario. But I think I think that is also a scenario... I think Twist can agree on this as well, is that those scenarios are almost the ones you want to be... You want to be, like, put against the wall. That's where you're most comfortable, because now you can control the pace of the game. Now everyone is going to dance around your moves. Like, you're the one in control here. And I think that is one of the most glorious things in Counter-Strike, for me at least, those scenarios when it happens. And I think a lot of my highlights as well kind of project me when I'm in the clutch against Astralis, for example, sure. 1-on-5 on Nuke. Like, I'm the one in control. Like, my playstyle kind of suggests that I am in control in this scenario. You guys have nothing to say about it. This is, like, my domain. And it doesn't always work out. Yeah, one
of course.
Like, it's not like it's always going to work out. But once it does happen, quite frequently, and I think you're 100% right. Like, we do calm it down a little bit. We're thinking many frags ahead. I think frags is the important part. You're thinking frags. You're not thinking about specific like moves or anything. I visualize the taps. I visualize the headshots. I visualize the excitement from when I win. I have this super weird feeling. It's never been ask those questions, but I'm trying to put it into words. But
no, you're doing a good job. Here's the thing. Obviously, we're coming to the end of the interview. We're closing now. But another topic I had is a very brief one to ask you is, another thing about Forest that people will know if they're a fan is, like, I would describe it like this. I think you're probably, like, the best rifle player ever in Counter-Strike history. But you are on the side. You have your mistress, which is the AWP. Like, you have always been every now and then going... Part of you secretly wants to be an AWPer, right? By the way, I know secretly Get Right was the same. Like, the joke is, like, because you're the best at one thing, you want to do the other thing. It's just a weird human nature thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think... actually, I was a main AWPer when I began my Counter-Strike.
Oh, really? At the beginning?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I think, like, in my first ever teams I played in, I was in a main offer, and I think it kind of just, I always wanted to shine with the big green as well, because I think that was the weapon that made people stand out, because you had the Wally, you had the DSM, you had like K-Sharp. Those memorable individuals or the sick clutches happen with the big green gun or the AWP, and I think the AWP is a satisfaction when it's being used correctly. But I think you're 100% correct. When you use your rifle for so long, you kind of want another challenge at some point as well, especially if you're Get Right, or if you're me in this example as well. You've been one of the best riflers ever. What is a challenge I can take upon me? But I think I've been a solid second upper anyways.
No, you're pretty good. Yeah, you're pretty good.
Like a second.
And I noticed you tended to use it when it like made sense in the team. Like, if you didn't have a strong upper or on a CT position like Dusto or something. Yeah, you would like use it when it made sense. You weren't just using it frivolously. Exactly.
No. But I did have a small stint where I was used to main AWP in NIP, and I think that wasn't a very good period of NIP. I think I don't remember the lineup, but that was with Dennis Lecro.
So towards the end, maybe like 2018 or something.
Yeah, I was playing main AWP, and it just didn't work out, because it takes a while to become a good AWPer. Nowadays, the good AWPers nowadays you kind of have to play AWP now. You have to be like, you decide from when you start playing Counter, because AWPers nowadays are totally different. It's a different play style. You think it's easy to just pick up the AWP and just go ham, but it's also a lot of pressure having the AWP. You have like being dropped the AWP every single time, people saving the AWP for you. And they put the pressure on you to perform. That's why it's so incredible to see players like Simple. You have the Saibus, you have the device. actually step up to the plate and do perform at that level. There's a few individuals who can up at that level, and I think Simple really does stand out in this scenario as well, because he's one of the few who never really lets his team down, and one of his greatest traits as an individual.
By the way, even though you've been very complimentary and you always are about the great players now like Simple and all these top guys, part of you must wish like we could just hop in the time machine and bring like Prime Forest and let's see what this Simple would be like against Prime Forest, right?
I think it would be fun to see 100%. But I'm still like in my mind today, if I would give a proper team today, put me in like in phase, I'm certain I would perform at a level that would shock people. I think people still underestimate.
Is that something you want to do, by the way? Would you like to play in, if someone's watching now, would you want to play in a tier one team again and go to the Lance?
Yeah, 100%. I think I'm not done, but at the same time, like I can understand if people have their doubts, because I am 34, I have two kids, I have like a totally different scenario, but I'm still ready to push.
Yeah, but you're also Forest though. That's my counter. I would go, I'm Forest though. There's only one Forest, so if you want Forest, exactly. It doesn't matter. You have to get the 34 one, so sign him up.
Exactly. I still think that the limits, like, I don't think people have explored what is possible within Counter-Strike. It's just the beginning. I think if you have Zlatan and Ronaldo running around at 37, 36, there is no stopping me either. But I understand if people are doubtful. If I just get proven the chance, I think important part of Counter-Strike is also having a like good teammates around you, like a solid structure. If you have valid teammates around you, you will perform at your absolutely best. And I think FaZe has succeeded in finding a group of people that all excel now within the group. You have a Brookie who's like can go like he's so the opera FaZe is Brookie, and he's playing against Navi, whose opera is Simple, but in this case FaZe still like
they win most of the time. Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's stupid, right? Brookie is good by all means, but Simple is... but I mean, it's just like... It's funny how chemistry and solid roles can do to a team to perform at that level. So I think definitely this page can be explored a bit more, and I'm ready to fight if given the opportunity. Hopefully, I am given the opportunity so I can give it one less ride, because I'm not satisfied how it ended with Dignitas or the whole NIP later year of NIP either or Dignitas.
Well, one thing I would certainly say, because I've talked to a lot of you guys who were from Dignitas and the old NIP guys, I know one thing that really sucks is like when you were in Dignitas, there was no fucking lands. It was just all online. It felt like online forever. It was like a nightmare purgatory or something. So I'm sure if you end your career, you want to go to one big last land and have a big run and be on stage in Cologne or something, right?
Yeah, I got the chance with. Yeah, you're 100% right. The whole thing about Dignitas was that we were gonna like get ahead.
It's supposed to be a LAN team. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Our experience on LAN, that's where our strong suits. We brought in like this young gun Halser who was like playing good on, like he showed good results on stats. You know, that's all we could do. It was solid. So he was gonna play with us. Yes, like the good old days. You know. We brought in like the Michelele, the Alu, the major finals all around. We've won tournaments with all different kinds of offers. We could do it. We thought, why the hell not? Let's do it. We can do this. One last ride, right? No. COVID hits, man, and we're stuck in this like online era of app. It was disgusting, man. It's not where you want to be when you have this career. You don't want to be stuck in online.
No, I mean, one of the worst things about it was like Groundhog's Day. You wake up every day, it's just you're playing another online match that means nothing, but it's your whole career. Like, nah, what is this, you know?
All meshed up a little bit. But I got the chance in Fnatic. It was quite sad that it was such a short notice, because I was like on a... This was when Dignitas had just announced that they're not doing this anymore. So I took a 2.5 week vacation, obviously to kind of just like reset. The season was in full swing. Then they asked me like day before the LAN, like we want to join. And obviously I'm super excited to be playing, jump in. But I wish I just could have gotten like a few more hours of like heads up, maybe play with them like one day before. But that was delicious. At least if that would have been my last LAN, at least I did a final stint with Fnatic at that as well. Played a LAN in Sweden. It was fun. But if anyone out there want to give this boy a chance, I can prove everybody wrong. So don't hesitate to reach out.
There you go. I've got some quick fire ones for you. So you just tell me the first name that comes to mind. Who is the smartest player that Forrest has played with?
Get right.
Do you want to give a reason?
Now, I think the reason is because when he explains things, it makes absolutely no fucking sense whatsoever.
Sure.
But then he does, like, and then it actually does it, and it works. It feels like he ends up in positions or in scenarios that I never thought was possible. If he outplays opponent, he doesn't out aim them. He literally outplays them. There's a few people who does that in terms of Counter-Strike nowadays. You had a few, but yeah, get right.
Okay. Right, here's a tough one. Who was the most skilled player you ever played with?
Worst?
You've got a lot of good teammates. Most skilled.
Most skilled. That is a tough one. I think there's like two that kind of comes to mind, like mechanically. I would say like Archie had mechanically, it depends on. Most skilled. Feels like I'm. Nah, rapid questions, but I'm thinking. But I'm going to go with Res, actually. I was about to say Archie, but I think I'm going with Res because in terms of skill, he has all the potential in the world to become like the best Swedish player, hands down. He has the aim. He has the package for it. He doesn't find the groove. I can like see myself in him sometimes as well, where he struggles a little bit. He hasn't really flourished as an individual. It doesn't really popped off, but I can still see that untapped potential. So skill wise, I think he had the most potential. Getrad like is a better player, 100%. Like in terms of like raw aim.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Rez has the most potential or skilled individual I played with.
Who would you say was the best teammate? So we're talking like qualities outside of just obviously like shooting people with the guns, etc.
Yeah, that would be Robin for me. Robin was more. Fifflarn is also a good one, but Robin.
Oh, Robin! I thought you said Robin. Yeah, sorry. Okay, yeah, Robin.
No,
okay.
No. Yeah. Robin. Yeah, Robin for me is it was like a mentor. As I said, he had a way with people. As you said, he's a cool guy, right? He knows how to take care of you and makes you feel welcome in every single scenario. Every single time you meet him, it feels like you've been best friends for 20 plus years. He has an amazing thing about it. And I think he taught me a lot as well about Counter-Strike and how to treat other people. And yeah, just improve me as an individual. So I'm going to give it to Robin.
Right. And who is the player who you wish you had played with, but you never did?
Oh, definitely Seth. I wish I played with Seth. Yeah, I wish I did. I would have loved to see how that duo would have turned out as well. I think it could have been pretty spicy. Two of the best Swedish players, two best Swedish writers together. Could have been amazing. So yeah, Seth.
At the end of this interview, do you have any final message? Is anyone you thank or shout out or something?
Hey, not really. I'm just glad we took a trip down memory lane, to be honest. It was a very nice talk, and to all the people watching, might have been some new stuff you didn't know about me, and hopefully you guys enjoyed it, and keep on, check out my Twitch channel or anything. I'm streaming a little bit during the downtime, if you want to check that out, a little bit on the YouTube as well. But I hope you guys enjoyed it, and if you have any questions, don't be afraid to ask them, because I'm ready to answer.
Taksamiket. This video was kindly supported by Kill Your Inner Loser, Ahmed Haju, Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Paul Villa, Travis Goff, Adam Oaks, Animosity, Bot Pounder 420, Hades, Jensen Gore, Kovacevic, Pacey, Tobias Bernasconi, Tosh, Toucan, and as always, special thanks goes out to Jerky's Minion. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my shows? Would you like to ask a question in my Patreon AMA? Maybe you want teasers, find out who the next Reflections guests are or upcoming talk show guests. Do you want to take part in one of those long donator discussions with me? Well, if any of the above or more sound interesting to you, put your money where your mouth is. Join the Skrilluminati today via the Patreon link in the description box below.